the last deal I did, I raised $1 million. Well, I'll get $1 million is gone. I can't, that doesn't come back. That's into this deal. So how am I going to raise another $1 million or $2 million or $5 million? You know, what am I going to do? So you've got to find more investors. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend, Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today. Hey, welcome back to another Hump Day Hustle. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me, as always, on these Wednesdays is John Stiles with Bridge Realty. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great today, Todd. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm energized. I am ready to roll. I'm kind of excited because I've got a 120-unit closing. Knock on wood, it hasn't happened. But by the time this airs, it should be done. We should be closed. And did the full capital raise that went really well. Started off scary, but it ended up going really well. So the worst, I think I had probably the worst timing I could possibly have, because when I first put it out there, it was 2 days before July 4th. And that's when I put it out there, and or that's when my webinar was. I believe it was Monday, and July 4th was on a Wednesday. And you know, everybody's out of town. I was actually out of town.
right.
Everybody's out of town doing stuff, and nobody. So I sent to my list, and I've got a decent amount of people on my list, and I only had like. It was like 12 people or something, 15 people that showed up to the webinar. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like what's going on? And people are just not responding. Nobody's answering the phone. On Friday, I did a bunch of phone calls just a couple days after the 4th, and I'm getting no reaction. So I'm kind of like in panic mode, and even the next week was kind of slow. But towards the end of the next week and then the following week, it started to pick back up quite a bit. And then I ended up being able to raise all the capital. I actually had a good amount of people that were on my backup list, which was nice. Anybody who's raising capital, make sure you have a good backup list. Don't, you know, I was only doing a $1.4 million raise, so it wasn't huge, but it's big enough where, you know, you need to make sure you're active and actually raising money. So I did the 1.4, and had I stopped there, I actually would have been in trouble, because I had about $125,000 worth of committed funds drop out during the process. So I had to raise an additional $125,000 worth of funds after I thought I was done. And so that's just a lesson to anybody. If you haven't done a capital raise and you're going to be doing a capital raise or you want to in the future, understand that. Well, first of all, understand, and I think we'll go through some lessons on this. Maybe we'll talk about it more another time. But first of all, understand that, you know, you've got a list of 100 people. 100 people aren't going to invest. You're only going to get maybe 20 to 30 of those people will actually invest in the one particular deal. It doesn't mean those other 75 that didn't invest will never invest. Just means they didn't this time. And then the other thing is, you know, you're going to have people that say yes, and maybe that they shouldn't have said yes, or something comes up, or, you know, who knows what it is. So I did have some people that said, yeah, I'm in, and then all of a sudden drop out. And again, doesn't mean that the next deal they won't commit and do it, but this time they dropped out. Now, I would suggest that if they drop out, like, you know, a couple times in a row, you might just want to take them off your list. But for me, it's like, I get it. Everybody, you know, things come up or whatever. And, you know, a few of them gave me reasons and some of them didn't, but, you know, I give them the benefit of the doubt right now. Of course, like I said, if two more deals, you know, go by and they commit and they all of a sudden drop out, then you know that they're just not an investor.
So your list that you sent out, the webinar invite, was that to a specific group of people that you had an inclination that they might be interested in, or just everybody you knew?
Yeah. You know, maybe we should talk about this on today's podcast a little bit more, because we are actually going to talk about creative real estate. Maybe this would be good to talk about since it's just like it's fresh and it's happening. Yeah. So maybe we'll just switch gears. So for me, the list of the people that I had were all people I've had conversations with. That's kind of my list. So I can't remember exactly how many people are on my list, 100 plus. So those are people I've had personal conversations with. Them. Some of them I have a long-standing relationship with. We've known each other for years. I mean, I've got people that I've known since on that list. I got one person on my list that I've known since I was 3 years old. I've got, you know, and he's invested in my last two deals and likely will continue to invest as he's able. I've got other people that I've known for, you know, 10 plus years, and I've got other people that I've known for, you know, maybe 4 or 5 months only. So it's kind of a variation of who I know. Some people I've only known through the phone, people that, you know, have connected with me, whether it's through this podcast, other podcasts, they've heard me, we've talked, you know, and we've kind of gotten to know each other a little bit. So there's some of those people. And then again, there's other people that have done business with me. And so the list varies, on who it is, of course, and what the relationship is with them. The other thing, John, that I thought was like, this was a big lesson for me, is there was people that I had met that I didn't really talk to them about investing in my deals. I've never talked to them about that. There's two people, and I won't mention their names, but there's two people. One is a person heard me on a podcast, reached out, really liked what you said and loved to chat more with you and so on. And so we've kind of had some dialogue back and forth. We never talked about investing. I met him at a conference and we talked for a little bit. Didn't talk as much as I and he wanted. You know, we plan on talking a little bit more and meeting a little bit more, but either way, we met face to face at a conference, and again, never talked about investing. But when I was doing this raise, he wasn't on my list, but he was on my mailing list. So I've got a mailing list and I've got an investor list, people that I've talked to. And then the mailing list is people I haven't talked to about investing. But he signed up for my mailing list. And so I kind of went through my mailing list and went, oh, you know, I know this guy. I've talked to him before. You know, I wonder if he'd be interested in this. I'll just send this over to him just to see. And I sent it over to him, and he ended up investing the second largest amount of any of my investors. Again, I never talked to him about investing, just something that you've got to think about. Now, you can't just blast everybody, but if you've had a relationship with this person and just kind of send a feeler out there, that could be a potential investor. So another person I've known for probably 15 years-ish now, does really well in his job. He's invested in real estate before. He's owned properties, has had rentals, so he gets the game. And I just sent him a text and I said, hey, have any interest? I got this, 100 plus unit deal that I'm closing on, and have any interest in it? He texted me back, said, yeah, send me an email. So I shot him the email with the stuff, and he ended up investing a nice, amount of money as well. So there was several people that I reached out to that I had never talked to about investing. And with a, you've got to come into it, I think, kind of non-assuming, or at least that's my approach. Of, you're not saying, hey, you should invest in this. It's more of, I've got this, this is what we're doing. Might be something you'd be interested in. If you are, let me know. And so I had several people that ended up either investing in this deal or being very interested in what I'm doing because of that. So definitely a lesson learned there is don't be shy about talking to people about it.
Yeah, I think you're doing a great job of just explaining what you're doing and not keeping it a secret. obviously, you've mentioned it on the podcast, which is open to anybody. You don't want to make assumptions about somebody who would invest or who wouldn't invest, because you don't know about their personal situation. So,
yep. Yeah, I mean, in this podcast, right, this podcast isn't a platform meant to bring in investors. However, I'm not going to not take an investor that has heard this podcast or heard me on another podcast. I'm not going to not take it, an investor, or at least talk to an investor because of that. So this podcast is definitely a platform that allows me to bring in investors. Now, again, we have to build a relationship. We have to do all that. So like if somebody heard me on this podcast or another thing, they have to connect with me through whatever platform, whether they do it on LinkedIn or come to our Facebook page or whatever it is, or send me an email. And then, we have a phone conversation, get to know each other, and then put them on the list and continue to talk. And it doesn't mean they have to invest in the deal either, of course. But yeah, this podcast and really other platforms that I'm on does allow me to expose myself and allows people to learn about kind of what we're doing and potentially invest if they find that it's an opportunity that fits them, of course.
Cool.
Yeah. So, those were kind of some of my big takeaways. I think the biggest thing I learned, or first of all, you're not done raising until you're actually done raising, until you need to close, right? So you've got to make sure you're pushing people to fund, to sign, to get everything completed. The other thing is, I kind of was in like panic mode at first, because I'm not getting the feedback that I wanted. So second one is, you've got to understand that you got to be patient. It's not going to happen, necessarily overnight, unless you've been doing it for years and you've got somebody tons of people that are just waiting on the sidelines just for you. But a lot of these people, and there are several people that I talked to that said, I'll appreciate this. I really would love to invest, but I just bought, my own apartment. I just bought, I had somebody that I reached out to. We had never talked about investing again. This is another person. I said, hey, you might be interested in this. Let me know. And he said, actually, I would be. I appreciate you sending this. Unfortunately, we're building our house, building a house right now. And I don't really want to tap into any of my liquid capital because I want to make sure in case something happens, it's free. He said, so the next one, once this house is done, the next one that comes around, send it over. So, there was a lot of people like that. And you just got to make sure that you're constantly talking to everybody. One of the mistakes I made on the very, not the very first one I did, but the very first one I did. I had my list of people I thought would invest and it told me they would invest. And I basically wrote down the amounts that they would invest and okay, that's perfect. I got it. I'll call these people. So I called those people and I raised from those, 15 people. And it was even less than, and I assumed they were going to invest what they told me they would likely invest. And some of them did, but some of them didn't. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to raise this money. Now what? And so I had to step back and go, okay, that was the wrong approach to do it. The way I did it this time was I sent it out to everybody, not just as the specific people who I thought would likely invest. I sent it to everybody. And it's a first come, first serve basis. And if you want to invest, you've got to look at everything I send and make a decision from there. So,
yeah. So how does that conversation go with somebody once you've told them about the opportunity and then they say, yeah, I'm interested. You say, great, how much? Or do you say, sign here or what? How does that conversation look?
Yeah. And this varies, of course, depending on the person. Some people say, hey, I'm interested. I'm in for $50,000 or $100,000 or whatever it might be. Well, then it's simple. We already know. And then I give them, I always respond back. And I like to have phone conversations with people if possible. So a lot of times I'll just call them or I'll email them, but I'll, tell them what needs to happen next. Thanks. I think this is a great opportunity. Here's what you need to do next. These are the steps. And it's usually, we have to get the subscription agreement signed and we have to we have to get you set up on either an ACH or to wire the funds. And so that, here are the next steps. We had set up to have a portal to where they could log into the portal, could do a pledge and they could then do ACH if they wanted to, or wire. It didn't work out as well as I wanted because it wasn't set up quickly enough. The next time, I think either I have to make sure that portal is set up prior to. And part of the problem too, John, was that we didn't have a ton of time between from when I first decided to raise, or not decided, could raise, to when we had to close on the raise. So that was part of the problem. But usually you have a little bit more time. But yeah, the portal was a little, I don't know what the right word is, clunky or not necessarily clunky, just it was challenging because it was just such a tight time frame. But yeah, it's just that conversation. If somebody doesn't tell you, they just say they're interested, then you call them and you talk to them about it and kind of feel where they're at. And eventually you have to ask them to make a decision, And you tell people it's first come, first serve. Would love to have you in. If you're interested for 50, I can mark you down now. If you're not, I'll call you on whatever Wednesday and we can talk about the commitment then. But if it fills between now and Wednesday, I'm going to have to just put you on a backup list. Mm-hmm. And that's not to try to sell them. It's just the truth. You want to tell people that's fine. Take your time. I want everybody to make a good decision. But it could fill up, and especially if you feel like it potentially could, you need to say that to them. So it kind of depended on the timing as well. You know, when I only had a few hundred thousand dollars raised, it wasn't, hey, you got to get the decision now. It was, yep, take your time. It could fail, but right now we're a ways off. But as it got closer, it was, hey, you know, kind of got to make the decision quick.
Yeah. You know, there's the both ends of that mindset where when you're just starting out, you kind of, like you said, kind of feel desperate, like, oh my goodness, where's all this money going to come from? I need your money. But really, there's all this money out there that's just waiting to be placed. You just got to find the right person, and then that person has the opportunity to get their money to work.
Yep.
Instead of it just sitting in the bank account. So.
Yep. Yeah, and anybody that's going to want to, you know, start raising money, what I would tell you is make sure that you know what your potential capacity is to do a raise, and then dumb that down. So if you look at all your investor list and you go, I could easily raise $3 million. Well, now take your investor list and cut it in quarters. And now that's how much money you can raise. So if you add up all your investors and go, this guy's interested in investing up to $100,000, this gal could invest $50,000, this guy could do $200,000, and you add that all up, and it's, you know, let's just call it $4 million for simple purposes. Cut that in quarter, and you could probably raise $1 million on a particular deal. So that's kind of how I would approach my list, is kind of look at it and just go, okay, if I cut this in a quarter, you might know a little bit more about your investors. So maybe you can be generous and cut it by a third. But I would just, you know, cut your list down and make sure that you understand, you know, at least a third aren't going to invest. So,
and you mentioned about having them sign a subscription agreement.
Yep.
If somebody hasn't heard of that or been familiar with it, you know, can you describe somewhat what's involved in that?
Yeah. So when you're doing a private raise, we've got the general partner and we've got the limited partner, and the general partner is going to be the one that's signing on the loan. They're going to be running the deal from start to finish. They're going to be the decision makers. They're going to be that's the company that's in charge. And then you've got the limited partners, and the limited partner truly is limited in their exposure, and the exposure that they have is their money. If you put $50,000 into it, you could lose all $50,000. That's your exposure. Now, if somebody trips and falls on the property and decides to sue, they're suing the main entity and you're not liable for that. Now, your money, again, is still liable. So if they wipe out the entire investment, well, then your money's gone. But it's similar to, let's call it, investing in Walmart. If somebody sues Walmart, you don't get called to go to court, right? But your investment could be at stake. So there's what's called a PPM, a private placement memorandum. And there's a big document that talks about what's the business plan of this thing. What are we doing start to finish? You know, where's the money being allocated? All that kind of stuff. Talks about how much they get. And there's no guarantees, of course, but it talks about, you know, their percentages and their expectations and that kind of stuff. And then a big, big portion of it is the risk involvement. And I had several investors call me up and talk to me about the risk involvement, because there's a lot of verbiage in there that's like, what is this supposed to be telling me? Like, is my money like going to go away? And it's like, well, it's kind of, you know, could it? You sure? But that's just kind of an attorney jargon to try to make sure we're all protected, because we want you to know that, you know, what you're investing in, right?
Yeah.
So why don't you be surprised?
It's a list of potential side effects, which include death, but it's not likely.
Exactly. It's like that pill commercial that lists off 3,000 things and you're like, what? I could grow a third foot? Like, huh. So there's that. And then the subscription agreement basically says, like, it's your partnership agreement. It spells out the partnership, says I'm a resident of this state. This is what I'm investing. This is how many shares I get for that. This is my address. Here's my personal information. And it, you know, here are some risk factors and I've read all the stuff and I know what I'm getting myself into. And this is, you know, essentially the partnership agreement is a subscription agreement. It's like, I don't know, maybe 8 pages with a bunch of signature spots.
Okay.
So yeah.
And you obviously have to be aware of all that, but you're not producing all that. That's your attorney who you've bought a new car for that is paying for
that. So the attorney is working with me. At least that's what your attorney should be doing, right? If you're doing a syndication, your attorney should be communicating well with you. The more detail you can give your attorney, the better. So I prepare a business plan. My business plan is, I don't know, I'd have to look it up, 20 pages. My business plan gives my own definition to risk factors, plus he's got his own. But my business plan tells about all the financial, tells you everything, where all the dollars are being allocated. And so I try to spell it out for my attorney already. So it's fairly easy. But so the more detail you can give your attorney, the better. Just try to spell out everything. And try to spell out everything like whoever's reading it has no clue what they're reading. If you can do that, it makes life just way easier for everybody. It makes life way easier for the attorney. It makes life way easier for all your investors. So, because your investors are going to have, everybody's going to have different questions. That's what helps formulate the PPM. That's what helps formulate basically the whole deal. And I think you could cut your attorney bill down drastically. The more detailed you are, the less your attorney bill is going to be.
Sure. Then he has to spend less time asking you all sorts of questions.
If you're on the phone with your attorney every day for 2 hours and then spend another hour on emails back and forth, your bill's going to go way up. But if he looks at something that's prepared, can spend an hour on the phone with you, go through everything, maybe spend, you know, one or two emails to make sure, and then you guys review it, it's simple, it's easy, and you're going to spend way less money on the capital raise. So, you know, it depends on how diligent you want to be.
It's cool.
I think being diligent is extremely important. I think a lot of my investors appreciated that too. I try to put things together in an organized manner where they can look at it and it's just simple and it's easy. A lot of it's, there's a ton of information. So I do a webinar, and on my webinar, I try to go through the important details. Here's what's important, because there's a ton of details, but there's obviously the most important things. And so I try to go through, my spreadsheet's like 6 pages. Five pages. So I've got all my financials. Then I've got all the construction details. I've got, some scenarios, some stress testing, all this kind of stuff. And I try to explain it to them just in an easy way. Here's the investment. Here's what we're doing. Then I go through the business plan. Here's the business plan. Here's what we're doing. And I think if you can do that in a very just easy to understand way, that's going to be a lot better for your investors.
Yeah, great. Well, then I also did notice that, like you said, it was a very short time for you to make this raise. How long have you had this under contract?
So we put this under contract a long time ago. I can't remember the date, but it was back in maybe March-ish? March or April. We put it under contract, and what happened is we actually changed the contract to, it probably was March, maybe even February. Shoot, it was a long time. It's been a long time. So we actually went through all the due diligence, liked the property, didn't find anything wrong with it other than what we knew was already wrong with it. So everything was moving forward well, and then we changed gears on the financing. So we're doing seller financing on this thing, and we'll explain that in another episode, why we did seller financing and all that kind of stuff. But that changed everything. And so then we actually dropped it out of contract and renegotiated on the seller financing and all those terms. And the seller is an attorney. So that was even more difficult because the seller wants contracts to be favorable to him, and we want contracts to be favorable to us. And so we had to go back and forth a lot to try to get these contracts all knocked out. And so they're favorable enough to us where we could feel comfortable bringing our investors in, yet obviously he needed them to be good enough for him as well. So that took a while, took a long time, longer than I would have liked. But we finally got that done. And that's why it was so quick, is because when we finally got that done and we signed everything, he wanted to close. Like, he wanted to close like the next day, which, you know, that I wasn't going to. But so we needed to close really quickly after that happened. So that's why it went so quick.
Cool.
I would have loved to close back in like May or April even, because of the renovation. When you're doing a renovation, if you can close in the spring, it's way easier, because then we can start leasing it out in the summer months. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to be leasing it out a lot in the, you know, early fall and into the winter, which will be a little more challenging. It won't allow us to get occupancy up as quick as what we'd want to, but we'll still be pretty all right.
Cool.
Yeah. So I think, you know, like I said, we are going to talk about creative real estate. We'll probably talk about that next week. We might just hammer out kind of this deal, because it was, I think, fairly creative how we got this whole thing done. So we might talk about this deal, especially if it closes. I don't want to go through too much detail right now because it hasn't closed. I've already given probably more detail than I should. But we'll talk about this deal, and then we'll talk about some other creative real estate that I've done, that you've done, and that we've seen done. So
sounds great.
Any more questions, John, on the syndication that come to your mind that you kind of, you know, think maybe people want to hear?
You know, I think we'll be excited to hear more about the deal itself, but what you went over there about raising the money, you know, it seems pretty straightforward. I think people who haven't done it before just need to start having those conversations with people to say, hey, this is something I'm thinking about in the future. You know, I've got nothing going on right now, but just if something comes up, are you one of the people that I should call about that?
Yeah. And I think that's a great point, because first of all, for me, I had one of my investors, he didn't invest in this deal. He actually invested in the previous deal, and he's got some deals that he's doing actively right now himself. But he asked me, he said, how have you gotten more investors? What have you done? Because you think about it, you go, okay, the last deal I did, I raised $1 million. Well, I'll get $1 million is gone. That doesn't come back. That's into this deal. So how am I going to raise another $1 million or $2 million or $5 million? You know, what am I going to do? So you've got to find more investors, and some of your investors are going to come back into the deal, but others they tapped out of their money. They either need to create more money through working, or they need you to refinance or sell that other property before they're going to invest again. That's just how it is. So you're going to lose investors every time you do a deal. Those investors, there's a handful of them that won't be able to do another deal, at least for, you know, a year or two, or maybe even more. So he just said, you know, how are you getting investors? What are you doing? And I would, my answer was several things. One is, I've been getting out there a lot more and like talking more about what I'm doing. And that's combination of a lot. And that's the biggest thing, right? Getting out there and talking more. And so combination of a lot of things. One, this podcast, two, other podcasts. Three, I've been, you know, blogging more, and I still do a bad job at that, but I've been blogging more. I've been on social media a lot more. I went from almost a zero social media presence to an okay social media presence. I'm still not the best at it, but an okay social media presence. I post at least several times a week. I'm not the you know, Gary V that posts, you know, 30 times a day, but I post, you know, a couple times a week for sure. So that's all helped. The other thing that's helped is I've been involved in more local networking groups. So we've got, John, you go to two of them that I've been involved in. We've got an apartment investor meetup that you and I go to quite a bit. And we've got a more of a kind of a commercial meetup, Minnesota Real Estate Exchangers group that we go to quite a bit. And those have helped. And then other, just other networking events, conferences. I've been to several conferences now, stuff like that. Anytime you can get yourself out there and expose yourself, and then make sure you're talking about what you're doing, and then trying to help others too. I think that's been a huge thing too, is I've been pretty open to helping people. The other day I had a gentleman reach out to me, didn't say anything about investing. He didn't mention investing at all, but he just wanted to meet with me, simply wanted to meet with me and talk about real estate, and his younger guy. And I met with him. You know, I try to meet with people, especially locally, if I'm available and I can. So him and I met and we talked for a while, and lo and behold, he ended up investing in this, you know, current deal. So something simple like that, just meeting with people. And there's several investors that have kind of came about similar to that. We just wanted to meet. And it wasn't about investing. It was just about, they just wanted me to talk to them about kind of what I'm doing and learn from me. And, you know, hopefully it's some synergy. We can continue to work together, and this guy's got a bright future, and I'm sure he'll do really well. Hopefully we can do well with this investment and do that. And I'm sure it'll just continue a business relationship with this guy throughout. So, you know, get yourself out there. I mean, don't hide behind the weeds. I hid behind the weeds for a long time because I just didn't think it was important to talk about what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know we've talked about social media stuff before, but I think that really just allows people to get to know you without actually spending time with them.
Yeah.
And then when they do spend time with them, you know, you can just confirm that, yes, you are who you present yourself to be.
Right, right.
You are. And so that has to be important as well.
Oh, absolutely. But, yeah.
But
yeah, if you're a fake, you're going to get found out, I think, fairly quickly. You know, you can pull the rug over people's eyes for, you know, maybe a little bit. I don't know. But obviously that's not the way to go about things. So
yeah. Hopefully. Yeah, but if they've already gotten to know you online and they already like your content, then they kind of feel like they know you already, and they can just, you know, feel comfortable when that decision needs to be made.
Right. Absolutely. So John, how can people get in touch with us?
Yeah, definitely. We really appreciate everybody who's listening and watching to this. So whatever platform you're on, whether it's YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, just scroll down to where you can make a comment. We'd love to hear your review or questions that you might have regarding what we've talked about here. And be sure to hit the like button, the thumbs up, and we'd appreciate you, you know, helping us build this brand as well. So thanks for that.
Yeah. And anybody that wants to actually, you know, reach out, if they want to be on the investor list, if they want to, you know, get our emails that we send out, or just want to connect, however, at one of the easier ways is just to go on Facebook, onto our Pillars of Wealth Creation page. And then from there, they can message us and get in touch, and then we can create some dialogue together, whether they, you know, whatever they want, we can create more dialogue. So
sounds great.
Cool. Well, John, appreciate it. You have a great rest of the day. Make every day Saturday.
You too.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity and properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.